My only regret was in not employing a firmer hand in bringing the project to fruition in time to frustrate the actions of those determined to thwart the Emperor's noble designs. Fear of the station, fear of imperial might, would have provided the necessary deterrent. Not once in his personal writings did Tarkin liken his authority to that of the Emperor or of Darth Vader. And yet even so simple a task as overseeing the design of a new uniform was perhaps a means of casting himself in garb as distinctive as the hooded robes of the former, or the latter's signature black mask. An analysis of trends in military fashion on Coruscant suggests a more tailored approach, a protocol droid was saying. Tunics continue to be double-breasted with choker collars, but are absent shoulder boards or epaulettes. What's more, trousers are no longer straight-legged, but flared in the hips and thighs, narrowing at the cuffs so as to be easily tucked into tall boots with low heels. A commendable alteration, Tarkin said. May I suggest, then, sir, flare-legged trousers, in the standard-issue grey-green fabric, of course, accented by black knee boots with turned-down topside cuffs. The tunic itself should be belted at the waist and fall to mid-thigh. Tarkin glanced at the silver-bodied humaniform couturier. While I can appreciate devotion to one's sartorial programming, I have no interest in initiating a fashion trend on Coruscant or anywhere else. I simply want a uniform that fits, especially the boots. The stars know my feet have logged more kilometers aboard star destroyers than during surface deployments, even in a facility of this size. The RA-7 droid canted its shiny head to one side in a show of disapproval.
There is a marked difference between a uniform that fits and a uniform that suits the wearer, if you take my meaning, sir. May I also point out that as a sector governor, you have the freedom to be a bit more, shall we say, daring. If not in color, then in the hand of the cloth, the length of the tunic, the cut of the trousers.
Tarkin considered the droid's remarks in silence. Years of shipboard and downside duties had not been kind to the few dress and garrison uniforms he retained, and no one on Sentinel Base would dare criticize any liberties he might take. All right, he said finally. Display what you have in mind. Dressed in an olive drab body glove that encased him from neck to ankles and concealed the scars left by wounds from blaster fire, falls, and the claws of predators, Tarkin was standing on a low circular platform opposite a garment fabricator whose several laser readers were plying his body with red beams, taking and recording his measurements to within a fraction of a millimeter. With his legs and arms spread, he might have been a statue mounted on a plinth, or a target galvanized in the sights of a dozen snipers. Adjacent to the fabricator sat a hollow table that projected above its surface a life-sized hologram of him, clothed in a uniform whose designs changed in accordance with the silent commands of the droid, and which could be rotated on request or ordered to adopt alternate postures. The rest of Tarkin's modest quarters were given over to a bunk, a dresser, fitness apparatus, and a sleek desk situated between cushioned swivel chairs and two more basic models. A man of black and white tastes, he favored clean lines, precise architecture, and an absence of clutter. A large viewport looked out across an illuminated square of landing field to a massive shield generator, and beyond to the U-shaped range of lifeless hills that cradled Sentinel Base. On the landing field were two wind-blasted shuttles, along with Tarkin's personal starship, the Carrion Spike. Sentinel's host moon enjoyed close to standard gravity, but it was a cold, forlorn place. Wrapped in a veil of toxic atmosphere, the secluded satellite was battered by frequent storms and as colorless as the pallet that held sway in Tarkin's quarters. Even now, an ill-omened tempest was swooping down the ridge and beginning to pelt the viewport with stones and grit. Base personnel called it hard rain, if only to lighten the dreariness such storms conjured. The dark sky belonged chiefly to the swirling gas giant that owned the moon. On those long days when the moon emerged into the light of the system's distant yellow sun, the surface glare was too intense for human eyes, and the base's viewports had to be sealed or polarized.
"Your impressions, sir,"
the droid said. Tarkin studied his full-color hollow doppelganger, focusing less on the altered uniform than on the man it contained. At 50, he was lean to the point of gaunt, with strands